In the gospel reading today, as we hear our Lord, St. Peter, profess his faith in who Jesus is, you are the Christ. And we know that Peter didn't quite understand what it was he was talking about at that point. Not only did our Lord tell him that this wasn't from flesh and blood, but from his heavenly Father, but immediately thereafter, Peter started to tell the Lord that he wasn't supposed to suffer. Now we come to St. Peter writing, and he says that he is a fellow presbyter and witness of the sufferings of Christ. The witness of the sufferings of Christ. Remember, Jesus told us that the sufferings were necessary. It is exactly what was foretold by God in the Old Testament, and it was made very clear. And now St. Peter, talking to the rest of us, tells us that we have to suffer. Surprise, surprise. We're members of Jesus. He's the Christ. We have to suffer with him. We have our participation in that suffering, and it is necessary. Just as it was for him, so it is for us. We ask ourselves why. Well, on one hand, we recognize the suffering purifies us so that we're able to love, but also we look at it from this other point of view. St. Peter's talking about it for those who are the shepherds, but it is true for every one of us. He talks about how they are to tend the flock of God, not under constraint, but willingly, not for sake of base gain, but eagerly, not as lording it over, but becoming from the heart. In other words, it is to be done out of charity, not for any selfish reason, not for kind of power thing, not for any other reason, but out of charity, out of love for the people. So if our Lord calls us to love, which is exactly what he told us are the greatest commandments, how are we going to do that? Because we are all afflicted deeply by selfishness. And so it is only through the sufferings. Now, a lot of us know that when sufferings come, people run away. Why is that important? Because you find out who actually loves you. The people who really love you are going to stick around even in the hard times. So, do we love God? Prove it. Words are cheap. How do you prove your love for God? By sticking around in the hard times, by being with him in the suffering, by not running away from it, by embracing it, by uniting it with him. These are not easy things, but they are critically important things, because as you move forward, even in our day-to-day life, you ask yourself, how do you know that someone is going to be faithful? Perhaps they've said they're going to be faithful, and that's a good thing. But what evidence do you have? We all know that people have said lots of things, and yet they don't necessarily follow through. We know that we've done that ourselves. How many times? So who do you know is going to remain faithful? Only those who have proven it through suffering. If we know that in our own life, then it becomes even more critical when it comes to the life of Christ and the life, therefore, of the Church, who is the mystical Christ, who is going to remain faithful. Only those who are willing to suffer. Again, these aren't pleasant things for us to think about, and we'd much rather think about all the pleasantries. But the cross wasn't pleasant. The salvation of our souls wasn't pleasant. What is going to be pleasant is in the next life. It is going to be glorious and wonderful. That's what St. Peter talks about. He is a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed in the time to come. In the time to come, not quite yet. This is the veil of tears that we're living in right now. but the glory is going to be revealed in us if we are faithful in the suffering. St. Paul even takes it a step further, and he says that we will share in the glory of Christ only to the degree that we are willing to share in the suffering of Christ. So we see then that suffering will purify us to be able to participate in the glory. So it allows us, therefore, to love more. It allows us to be more faithful. It allows us to be more perfectly united with Jesus. That's what this is all about. That's why the saints all tell us that we should rejoice in the suffering. There aren't very many people who do that. Saint Teresa tells us that we actually can't rejoice in it until we get through the fifth mansion out of seven. So in other words, you have to be fairly advanced in the spiritual life before you actually can rejoice in the sufferings. But we at least have to see them at this point for what they are, the good that God brings from it. It's not because it's a punishment. It's not because he's angry. It's not any of that. It's because he loves us, because he's trying to purify us, because he wants us to be able to love more. He wants us to be perfected. He wants us to be prepared for that eternal glory. In the meantime, before we can make it to heaven, before we can see him face to face and share in his glory, we have to show that we are faithful. We have to show that we can love, that that's what our lives are about, to be able to love. It's to love him so that we can love others. And how do you know that somebody truly loves you? As we talked about a few minutes ago, only when they can prove it through the suffering. The talk is cheap. You're going to have 1,000 friends if you have lots of money and an easy life. When it goes away, what do you have? Very, very, very few, because they weren't willing to actually be there for you, because they didn't love you. They loved what they could get from you. That's not love. So that's why the suffering is so important, for us to be able to say, to show God that we're not just giving him lip service, but our hearts, in fact, are united with him. And that happens only in and through sharing in the suffering of Christ.